morning. I am presenting an adaptation of the science assessment contained in the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy. And my co-authors today are Jonathan Coppas. He's a research assistant professor of ag policy law at the University of Illinois. And Lauren Lurkins, who is the director of natural and environmental resources at the Illinois Farm Bureau. If you're not aware, there were 12 states in the Mississippi River Basin that have been identified as major contributors of nitrate and phosphorus to the Gulf of Mexico, and that was determined by the Gulf Hypoxia Task Force Action Plan in 2008. That was followed up in March of 2011 by the US EPA, who issued a guidance memorandum to those 12 state water quality agencies, encouraging all of them to develop their own state's nutrient reduction strategy. So the stated purpose of this document was to develop nutrient reduction scenarios that are based on voluntary implementation practices to reduce those nitrate, nitrogen, and phosphorus loads to the goal of the load reduction identified in the Gulf Hypoxia Task Force Action Plan of 45% for total nitrogen, actually, and for phosphorus. And the goal for that is 2035. So again, it is based on voluntary implementation of practices, but they were encouraged to continue to develop numeric nutrient criteria, which can be used as a way to implement agricultural or other regulations in the case that it looks like voluntary practices are not going to be sufficient to meet those 45% nitrogen and phosphorus loss reduction goals. So there was also in Illinois' nutrient loss reduction strategy an interim goal. And that interim goal is that by 2025, we would like to see a reduction of 15% in nitrate, nitrogen, and 25% in phosphorus. So in 2013, the Illinois EPA approached Dr. Mark David, who's here today, and they asked him if he would develop that very important part of the nutrient reduction strategy called the science assessment. And he agreed to do that, and he assembled the team that you see here to help him with that. One of their first tasks was to identify the total nitrate and phosphorus losses from the state of Illinois during the baseline period. To do that, they developed an 8 major river system assessment program, and they looked at the nitrate and phosphorus losses above and below these 8 major river systems using USGS gauging stations and nitrate and phosphorus concentrations from the Illinois EPA and the USGS. From that, they determined that for this 1980 to 1996 baseline period, 404 million pounds of nitrate nitrogen per year were lost and 34 million pounds of phosphorus per year were lost. I am using English units today. This was a farmer document, and I maintained everything in the English units. So you'll hear me refer back to this 404 million pounds of nitrate nitrogen value a lot through the rest of this talk. And so when we say that we were asked to make a 45% reduction, it's 45% of these values that you see here. So again, it's 45% or 15% of the nitrate nitrogen losses and 45% or 25% for the interim goal of the 34 million pounds of phosphorus per year. So after they determined that, they wanted to see how those losses were distributed across the state. They did this using HUC-8 watersheds, and they did it for point and non-point sources of nitrate and phosphorus. What I'm showing you here is just the non-point nitrate nitrogen yields. What I really want to emphasize here is that for the non-point sources, the great majority of nitrate losses from the state of Illinois are coming from the northern two-thirds part of the state. I also want to point out that the science assessment determined that 80% of all the nitrate nitrogen that is lost from the state of Illinois is coming from agriculture. So from an agricultural perspective, it just makes a lot of sense to focus on this northern two-thirds of the state to target our nitrate nitrogen reduction practices. And the reason for the majority of it coming from those areas is because of the intensity of tile drainage, and especially the increasing amount of pattern tile drainage that's going into the state of Illinois in recent years. And after they had determined those regional losses, they wanted to start looking at, especially for the non-point sources, different management practices that can be implemented across the landscape to reduce those nitrogen and phosphorus losses. And so, of course, they started looking at different management practices for agriculture as a first line of defense. The way they did that was they divided the state up into major land resource areas, these 9 MLRAs. that covered the state. And for that, they then assigned each practice that they looked at a different value, and they determined the practice load reduction for each of those. This is not a vision test. You don't need to read the actual values here in the table. What I wanted to demonstrate, though, is how Dr. David and his team assembled this data, how they organized it, because I basically mimicked that when I recreated it with the adaptation. So what they did was they looked at a number of different agricultural practices. In this case, this is a nitrogen reduction table, but he created the same thing for a phosphorus losses. So for the nitrogen reduction practices, he divided those up into three different types of practices: the infield, edge of field or end of pipe practices, and land use change. So the infield practices in the green box here are essentially the 4R nutrient management practices and cover crops. The edge of field or end of pipe practices here in the gray box are bioreactors, wetlands, and buffers, and then the land use changes, taking land that had recently been converted into row crop land that had been pasture or perennial grasses and converting it back into those perennial or pasture or grasses. So for each one of the practices that you see here, they assigned load reductions, and they based it on, here in this column, a per acre nitrate-nitrogen reduction for that particular practice. And then based on how many acres that particular practice could be applied to, they could develop a statewide reduction. And then they looked at that statewide reduction. They associated that with the percent of the total 404 million pounds of nitrate nitrogen baseline. So what percentage of that total nitrate nitrogen losses that practice would actually address? And then they also applied an implementation cost. So they took those practices and they bundled them, and they put them together in these groups of scenarios to achieve the 45% nitrate nitrogen or phosphorus loss goal. And as one example of the scenarios that got us to a 45% reduction in nitrate nitrogen, it also achieved a 33% reduction in phosphorus, they assembled these practices. If we only applied the university recommended rate, no-fall nitrogen application, cover crops on all of our tile-drain farmland and 70% of non-tile-drain farmland, bioreactors associated with 50% of all acres, that'd be about 60,000 bioreactors across the state, and perennial crops on about 1.1 million acres of non-tiled land that had recently been converted to row crops, putting it back into perennial grasses. And then if all point sources were to reduce their nitrate emissions to 10 part per million concentration, 10 milligrams per liter. So that would get us to that 45% reduction goal at a cost of $858 million per year. Coming from the brokest state in the United States of America, I can tell you we do not have $858 million or any fraction thereof to apply to these types of reductions. So our takeaway from the science assessment is that it will require a near wholesale adoption of conservation practices, essentially a conservation practice on every acre of farmland in Illinois, to make this scale of sweeping changes to reach the 45% nitrogen phosphorus losses. And it's clear to us that to implement the nutrient loss reduction strategy at this scope and this scale to meet these kinds of sweeping changes, it's going to require a lot of coordination and strong partnerships between the agricultural associations and the agricultural groups, and between our municipal point source emitters, the universities that are helping us with this, and also our state agencies. So it can only be achieved through a partnership effort. And that's really what led us to wanting to develop an adaptation of the science assessment. The objective for us in agriculture, I represent the Illinois corn growers, was to develop a strategy that we could sell to our farmers, that we could communicate with Farm Bureau, with the Soybean Association, that we could all be speaking at the same voice, communicating one focused message. And we also felt that to do that, we need to give farmers a map that they could understand better than the MLRAs. That made a lot of sense, but we think that a map that has familiar landscapes and physical features would be better to communicate that. And then we knew that there are certain practices that farmers are going to gravitate towards. We know that those practices are going to be, first, the infield practices. That means the 4R nutrient management practices and our cover crops. Farmers are, for a couple of reasons, going to be more likely to implement those. First of all, they're familiar with those. They understand how to adapt their nutrient management, and they understand how to grow a cover crop. They might not always want to do it, but they do know how to do it, and so they're familiar. The other aspect of this, though, is that every one of those infield practices represents a return on investment for our farmers. They're going to get some part of that money back in most years, whether it's growing a cover crop, whether it's recycling their nutrients, or just not applying as much nutrients. other practices such as the edge of field or end of pipe, they really, and especially land use change, they just represent lost opportunity costs essentially for our farmers. So we know that those are the practices we want to emphasize, and of course we want to use the edge of field and land use change practices as supporting practices to get us the rest of the way. So first of all, we reconfigured the geographic management areas. So Dr. David again used the 9 MLRA map. We created a 5-region map. And those 5 regions were over here, our northwest, northeast, south, or west central, east central, and our southern regions. And we delineated those using some pretty familiar features. Interstate 80 running across northern Illinois and State Road 16, every farmer's familiar and they all seem to understand that above I-80, you're in northern Illinois, below 16, you're in southern Illinois. For the east-west, we actually used the moraine here that is based on the Wisconsin glaciation. And so if you're over here where that was non-glaciated, the farmers all do recognize that that part of the state has different soils, that it has different management practices in some cases, and a lot different tile drainage intensity. There's more tile drainage in the area that was glaciated here because of those soil types. So because tile drainage was such an important factor for nitrate losses, that seemed to make sense to us. So for our methods and our validation, we limited all of our practices and also all of our reduction efficiencies to just the values that were contained in the science assessment. We did not vary that at all. We overlaid the MLRA map onto our regional map. We used GIS then to just be able to determine exactly what percentage of each MLRA was contained within our regional map. So we just made those conversions. Then we did some weighted averages to determine average nitrate-nitrogen losses per acre for each one of those regions. And we applied the science assessment's value for percent nitrate reduction per acre for each one of our practices. So we really just adapted everything essentially to our map that we were applying it to. So we should have gotten good agreement, and we did. We tested our values using the same constraints and the same assumptions that were contained in the practices and the science assessment. We were always within 6% difference, on average about 2.3% different with the values in science assessment. So just to run quickly through 2 of our nitrate-nitrogen reduction scenarios, I'm going to show 1 for 15% nitrate-nitrogen reduction for the interim goal and 1 for 45% reduction for that final goal. So if we applied all of these practices together, we can get to our 15% nitrate-nitrogen reduction. This shows you how many acres and what type of acres we're applying that practice to. This shows you the absolute nitrate-nitrogen loss as a result of implementing that practices on those acres and what percentage of the baseline that represents. Again, that's 404 million pounds of nitrate-nitrogen per acre. So if we were to reduce our nitrogen rate by 10% on 10% of all of our acres, that's the 10% that the science assessment determined was over-applying, for their nitrate-nitrogen rate above the university recommended rate. If we apply a split application of 40% fall application, 10% pre-plant, 50% side dress to 33% of all the tile-drained acres in northern and central Illinois, if we also eliminate fall nitrogen on 17% of those tile-drained acres in northern and central Illinois, if we apply cover crops to 25% of our tile-drained fields in northern and central Illinois and 25% of our corn acres in southern Illinois where there's less tile drainage, if we have buffers associated with 500,000 acres of our non-tile-drained land, if we have bioreactors associated with 500,000 acres of our tile-drained land, if we have 1 million acres associated with wetlands, and if we have 500,000 acres of currently row crop land converted back into perennials, we can get to our 15% nitrate-nitrogen reduction. What I really want to point out, though, is look at the value of these practices that are the 4Rs type management practices compared to our other infield practice of cover crops. So when you add all of these 4R type practices together, it only represents 1.3% reduction of our total nitrate-nitrogen losses. Versus if we apply cover crops to those areas, we get 5.3% reduction. So what it demonstrates is just the importance of cover crops to these. And we spend so much time and effort and energy looking at how to manage nitrogen different ways, and maybe we should just be looking more at cover crops. When we look at our 45% nitrate-nitrogen reduction here, we see a very similar story. It is essentially the same story, except at a bigger scale. For our practices, we're using all the same edge of field and end of pipe practices. I just doubled it all up. And then for cover crops on 90% of our corn and soybean acres, and for using that 40-10-50 split application on 40% of our drained acres. What I want to demonstrate here is it's a tenfold difference. Cover crops are 10 times more effective at reducing our nitrate nitrogen than is this 40-10-50 split for our fertilizer management. So in conclusion, I'd just like to say that our typical 4R practices provide no more than about 5% of the reduction potential that we believe we can get from our nitrate nitrogen loss reduction requirements. Our best bet scenarios really do need to rely heavily on adoption of cover crops across the agricultural landscape of Illinois. So with that, I thank you very much. I hope I have a time for a question. I'd like to thank Dr. David for helping with this adaptation and for humoring us as we went through the process. Yes, that is something that the Nutrient Research and Education Council, that is a fertilizer checkoff organization that funds a lot of research in Illinois, is focusing very heavily on. We actually are reviewing proposals right now for both bioreactors, saturated buffers, wetlands. So we have all of those in the pipe. We will have to rely on those, and we do feel a need. In Minnesota, farther north than us, you're going to have to find a way to make those bioreactors work better, find wetlands. So yes, we feel that that is very important for meeting our nutrient loss goals as well. Thank you.
We'll have another discussion at the end of the presentations. I need to move on to the next one.